Chapter 15. I nearly spat out my tea at her words, and my face immediately went red with embarrassment. "And what might that question be?" her father asked as he regarded me with cool green eyes. Ira said nothing, she just looked at me. So I quickly wiped the tea off my face, cleared my throat, and looked at her father. "Yes, I'm actually here to ask you for Ira's hand in marriage." I couldn't wait any longer or focus too hard on what I was going to say, or I might not have said it. I was still so concerned her father would think I wasn't good enough for her, since I didn't have a name of my own, and I didn't want to dwell on that, so I had to just go for it. Her father continued to regard me with cool green eyes. I couldn't tell if he was angry or not, but part of me thought he might flip the table right then and rush toward me.
"Ermaine?"
Eileen put her hand on her husband's arm after a moment.
"Rat is waiting for an answer."
Eileen smiled at me and gave me a small nod, so at the very least I knew she liked me. I wasn't too sure about her husband, but I wasn't going to let him intimidate me either, so I straightened my shoulders and looked him in the eyes. My blue eyes landed on his green ones, and I gave a small polite smile. Sir, as I mentioned, I would like your daughter's hand in marriage. I know... Huh? Ermaine dismissed my words with a wave of his hand, and my mouth snapped shut with a click. "I believe it's time the two of us have a drink," he said in a casual tone, and he stood up and walked into the house without saying another word.
"I don't think he likes you,"
Asta frowned.
"I'm sure it's not that,"
Ira assured me, but I could see a hint of doubt flicker across her beautiful face.
"It's probably best if you go with him,"
Eileen added with a small smile.
"Don't let him intimidate you, though. He looks a lot meaner than he is."
Somehow, I found it hard to believe an ex-warband leader who is a living legend was less mean than he looked. The man didn't appear very mean to begin with, so I figured that if anything, he was probably a lot meaner than he looked. I'd heard plenty of tales about his escapades, including how he'd taken on an entire league of frost giants on his own and came out victorious. Granted, I wasn't sure what was real or not, but the man clearly had skills, judging from his daughter, and something told me the majority of those stories probably hadn't been exaggerated in the least.
"He studies at the end of the hallway to the left,"
Eileen said as she pointed inside.
"You'll see a lion carved into the door."
"Thank you," I said, and I headed into the house. I didn't dare glance back at the girls, but I could feel their eyes on me, and I knew Ira was counting on me. I wasn't going to let her down, regardless of whether her father liked me or not. It shouldn't be up to either of us men to decide who she married. Still, this was important to her, and I was going to convince him to give me his blessing. His daughter deserved that much from both of us. She was an adult, and if she wanted to marry me, it was her decision. A small clinking sound caused me to go on high alert as I made my way down the elaborate hallway to the door at the far end, and just as Ira's mother said, there was a huge lion head carved into the ornate double doors. Half of its head was carved into each door, so when they closed, it formed the full lion. The clanking came from inside the study, and I took a deep breath to steady myself as I hoped her father was pouring us drinks, rather than sharpening his sword. I knocked twice on the huge dark red door, and a second later Ermaine called out.
"Come in, Rat,"
he said, and his voice sounded oddly calm. Yes, sir," I replied before I pushed the door open to see the most beautiful study behind it. I'd been in the Elf King's study, and his didn't compare to Ermaine's. There was a fireplace to the left that roared and filled the room with soft crackling sounds from the wood, and in front of it was a black metal grate twisted to look like ivy. Along the walls were ceiling-high bookshelves filled to the brim with volume after volume, as well as some small trinkets here and there. Above the mantel hung a sword about the size of mine, but it looked like it had taken a severe beating. The handle was red and gold, and at the hilt of the blade was a small lion's head with ruby-encrusted eyes. Her father sat in one of two large, deep green velvet chairs, and as I walked over, I noticed a fur rug on the floor. Something about it was oddly familiar. "Ah, you noticed my rug, eh?" he asked with a smile. "I'm not sure what animal it is." I shook my head, "but it seems very familiar to me." "It's an animal from Midgard," he told me. Suddenly I realized it was the same beast Kaas and I had run into the first time we'd visited the rudimentary land, and I wondered how Ira's father had obtained the hide. Ermaine handed me a pint glass as I sat down, and for the briefest of moments I was slightly concerned he'd put some sort of poison in the mead, but I took the drink all the same. "This is very good," I nodded. "I make it myself," he said with a small lift of his chin. "I can tell," I smiled. "Oh, can you? Most people think I get it from the market." "No," I shook my head and took another sip. "Oh, no, it's definitely home-brewed. It has a nice, sweet flavor to it, though it could possibly use some peaches or spices to round it out." "You're saying my flavor isn't rounded enough?" Ermaine asked, and he raised a bushy red eyebrow at me. My heart sank, my face lit on fire, and my eyes widened to saucers as I realized I'd just given Ermaine Pyre advice on how to improve his mead. "Oh, I didn't mean..." "Ha, ha, ha, ha!" I started to backtrack, but he let out a raucous laugh and shook his head. "You're easy to get riled up, aren't you?" he chuckled. "I'm just a little nervous. I've never asked for someone's hand in marriage before, let alone to a famous warband leader." "Relax," he said, and he leaned back in his chair and took another drink. Then his eyes narrowed on the glass, and he snorted. "You're right. This would taste good with peaches. I have plenty if you'd like some." Well, this was going better than I expected. So you grow your own food too, eh?" he asked as his eyes looked me up and down again. "I always have," I nodded, "ever since I bought my own property." "Oh, that's good. It's good to have property. Once you're married, it will no longer be just yours, though. Are you all right with that?" Was he giving me his blessing? "Oh, I don't consider it just mine anymore. Anyways, it belongs to Ira, Kaas, and Asta, too. As well as our dogs." "Dogs?" He nodded, but his eyes narrowed. "Yes," I agreed as casually as I could. "You saw them." "I know exactly what I saw." His green eyes landed on mine with the ferocity our conversation had been lacking, and then he leaned forward in his seat and glared at me. "I'm not sure what you mean," I started, but something about the way he stared at me made me stop talking. "Before we discuss your marriage," he said in a much calmer voice, and he leaned back and took another drink of mead, "I have some other things I'd like to discuss." "Please, tell me why my daughter is traipsing around with dragons."
"Dragons? I don't know. Oh, enough with the act."
He rolled his eyes and shook his head.
"I know they're dragons. I'm positive I saw one of them fly up into that chair. Besides, normal dogs don't act like that. They're not that smart."
How did he know how dragons acted? What was going on? Did I tell him? Did I play dumb? A million questions ran through my mind then, but I couldn't think of an answer to any of them. My mouth parted, but no words came out.
"Maybe it would help you be more forthcoming with your information if I told you I know about the room the council has."
"I Still wasn't sure what to do, so I took a drink of mead instead of saying anything. Don't want to break the rules, eh? He chuckled, and his mouth pulled into an amused half-smile. I get it. But I could sense something about you the moment I saw you. There's something strange there. You're involved with this somehow, just like I used to be. What exactly did you used to be involved in? I asked carefully. Well, those eggs the council has, he said, as easy as if we were still discussing home-brewed mead. Let's just say I was responsible for retrieving quite a few of them. You were? I asked, and my eyes nearly bugged out of my skull. Ira never said anything about that. She never knew. He shook his head. You know as well as I do that being involved with dragons is a discreet business. Yes, sir, it is. I nodded. So, now, will you tell me what my daughter is doing hanging around with you and your dogs? He asked with a cocky half-smile. I suppose that can be arranged. Ira's involvement wasn't planned in all this. I used to be in her warband, but I accidentally hatched a dragon egg. What? He cut me off, and his red eyebrows furrowed together as he leaned in and looked me up and down. What did you just say? Oh, right. I shook my head. I forget that's not a normal thing. No, it's not, he said, and his voice got lower as his eyes landed on me. You can really hatch dragons? I've hatched a few already. Blah was an accident, but I hatched Inger and Ufe on purpose. I didn't hatch Svas, but she joined us when we rescued her from some dragon traders. Her family was gone, and she wanted to stay with us, particularly with Ira. The little dragon loves her a lot. I see. He leaned back in his chair and took a long drink of mead. Rat, I'll be honest, you seem nice enough. I like you. However, dragons are a tricky, dangerous business, and I want my daughter to be safe. I wasn't going to mention her profession before this had been warband leader, which seemed just as bad. He was right, dealing with dragon dealers was probably a lot more dangerous. At least in a warband there were plenty of others fighting, too, and the enemy was usually quite predictable. That wasn't the case for the dragon trade. I understand. I would happily lay my life on the line for your daughter. Why do you want to marry her? He asked as he cocked his head and studied me. Well, sir, Ira is not only beautiful and an incredibly talented warrior, she's also sensitive and kind. She cares about others, and she believes in justice. I told you a moment ago that none of this was planned, and it wasn't. Ira wanted to help with our cause. She wants to make sure the dragons are safe, and I love how devoted she is to doing good. Having her around, I've seen a much softer side of her that I never expected to see. Before this, I'd known her as a fierce warband leader, but she's so much more than that. She's continued to surprise me every day, and I want to learn everything about her, even if it takes a lifetime. I love your daughter, sir, and I want to spend the rest of my life with her. He nodded and regarded me over the rim of his glass. My heart nearly beat out of my chest as I waited for him to respond, and it was so loud I thought I could hear it fill the room.
Hello!
Ira called out, and I realized the sound had been her knocking on the study door.
I brought you two more mead.
The redhead stepped in and smiled at me. She carried a tray with a pitcher of booze on it, as well as some fresh fruit. Thank you, daughter. Ermaine smiled. But you know I always keep some in my office.
Oh, I must have forgotten.
Ira grinned playfully at her father. You've come to see how our meeting is going, he said, and he held out his glass for her to fill it up.
Perhaps,
she confessed, and she lifted her chin slightly as she poured the honey wine.
And how is it going?
Well, we were just talking about why he wants to marry you.
Oh, really?
Ira asked, and a slight flush colored her cheeks.
And why might that be?
Well, he said something about how you're kind and beautiful and how he loves you. He waved a hand dismissively. But now I'm more interested in knowing why you want to marry him.
I see.
Ira nodded, refilled my drink, set the pitcher on her father's desk, and turned to look him in the eye.
I love Rat, too. I have for a long time. When we were in the warband together, he was always the cleverest on the battlefield, and I admire his tenacity and cunning. And now that I get to see the work he's doing, I respect him even more. He's courageous, and I want to fight this battle with him. I want to taste the meals he makes every day. I want to wake up in the morning and know I'm home in the small courtyard with Asta, Cass, and the dogs around me. I want to be with Rat for the rest of my life, and I desire your blessing in order to do that.
She spoke matter-of-factly, except when it came to the part about the dragons, when she struggled with the word for a moment. And what mission is it that you're on? Ermaine asked me. Ira's eyes shot to mine, and she shook her head just slightly and mouthed,
"Sorry."
Dismantling the dragon trade, I said nonchalantly, and Ira's eyes widened to saucers. I see. Ermaine nodded.
You do?
Yes. I was just telling Rat that I gathered some of those eggs the council has. He explained, and I could tell he was fighting back a smile.
What? Why didn't you ever tell me this?
It never came up. He shrugged. But I do believe my work with the council years ago is what prompted them to ask you to retrieve some eggs once you started working as a forband leader.
You knew about that too?
Ira asked as she narrowed her emerald eyes at her father. I know everything, daughter. He smiled.
Well, if you know everything, then you know what to tell Rat about his request,
she said, and she cocked a half-smile at him as he stifled a laugh and raised an eyebrow at her.
I'm sure I do,
he said with a faux solemn nod.
Good. Then we'll see you two in just a moment,
Ira announced, and she left us alone again.
Ballsy, that one.
He snorted and shook his head as he stared after her.
I wanted a daughter like me, but I never expected her to be that much like me. Her mother's a delicate woman. She's versed in the art of drawing, painting, gardening, cooking. She does it all. I figured Ira would pick up a few of those things at least, but no. She's got my fighting skills and my attitude.
It must be nice to see yourself in your child, I remarked with a smile.
Oh, I suppose it is.
He nodded, but then realization dawned on him and he looked at me seriously.
I'll give you my blessing, but I have a couple of conditions.
My heart rate skyrocketed at the first part, then fell at the second.
What are the conditions?
I asked, and I was proud that my voice only shook a little. First, I'd like you to pick a surname to pass on to her. It can be whatever you want, but I'd like for her to have a surname still.
All right.
I nodded. That didn't sound too ridiculous.
And second.
He leaned in close, and his green eyes turned to slits that made my heart skip a beat.
Take care of her. She may be a great warrior, but she is your number one priority now. You must always protect her, especially in your line of work. Do you understand?
I do. Your daughter is safe in my care.
Good.
He nodded and looked me up and down for another long moment,
Then a huge grin split across his face, and he reached his hand out to grab mine.
Welcome to the family!
The huge man nearly spilled my mead as he pulled me to my feet and wrapped his arms around me. His biceps were massive, and as he squeezed, I could barely breathe from the pressure. Still, I managed to lift my arms up and pat him on the back.
Thank you, sir!
Oh, sorry. He quickly set me down. I do that to every fun. You'll have to get used to it. Try my best, I smiled. Cheers! The man laughed, and he picked up his glass and hit it against mine. Cheers! I chuckled and took a pull of mead.
Does this mean you said yes?
Ira asked as she poked her head back through the door.
You were listening in, weren't you?
Ermaine teased with a playful smile.
You know what I said.
No, Father, thank you!
Ira squealed, and she bounded across the room to land in her father's arms.
Oh, you know I'd do anything for you, daughter.
He sighed and closed his eyes as he held her close. Seeing the bond they had made my throat tighten up with emotion, especially when I thought about how I'd one day have that with my own children. I may have never known my parents, but my children would know their father. I'd make sure of that.
We must do it tonight.
Ira giggled as she pulled away from her father and looked at me.
Tonight?
I echoed, and my head shook back and forth of its own accord.
That's so soon.
It is sudden. Ermaine frowned.
Wouldn't you like to wait a while?
Absolutely not.
Ira said decisively, and her green eyes landed on mine.
I want to marry you today. We don't know what tomorrow will bring or what kind of mission we'll have to run off and do. I want to marry you now. I don't want to wait.
Then tonight it is, I grinned.
Thank you, Rat!
Ira squealed, and she jumped from her father's arms into mine, an act that seemed incredibly fitting of the situation.
Did you say the wedding is going to be tonight?
Asta asked her. She burst through the door with the dragons at her feet and Cass and Aline right behind her.
Every fun's spying on my study now, huh?
Ermaine laughed.
Did you think we were going to wait to hear what you said?
His wife asked him, and she walked up, kissed him on the cheek, and then looked at me.
I'm glad to have you in our family, Rat.
There is still one condition Rat must meet beforehand.
What's that?
Asta frowned.
Whatever it is, I'm sure Rat can handle it.
Cass said with a serious nod.
He must pick a surname.
You agreed to this?
Aline asked me, and she turned to look at her husband.
You shouldn't have asked that of him, dear.
A surname is important. It garners respect, and I want that for my daughter. For both of them. I told him it can be whatever he wants.
As long as it's all right with you.
Aline told me softly.
Oh, yeah, I'm fine with it.
I always knew I could pick one if I wanted to, but I just never thought it was very important.
I think Ermaine's correct.
Cass nodded.
It can be important for certain things, especially when dealing with the council or other legal matters. So, what were you thinking?
Asta asked, and she cocked her head to the side.
Well, I hadn't thought about it yet.
I shook my head.
The wedding is tonight, Rath.
The elf girl told me, as if she was surprised I hadn't come up with a name in a matter of minutes.
Well, I know, Asta, I'll think of one.
Suddenly, the sound of metal clamoring filled the air, and I looked over to the desk to see Bla leading the brigade of little dragons to a large dish filled with Asgardian honey candy. The blue dragon had his paw in the dish, and it was tipped over, so candies spilled out all over the desk, while Inga, Ufe, and Svas sat behind him and lapped them up.
Blah! Those aren't yours!
The little dragon lifted his foot off the dish, and then slowly leaned down toward one of the candies.
No!
I warned him, and then he stopped for a second, but then continued to lower his head.
Blah! It's all right. I keep them here for guests. I don't mind sharing with the little creatures.
Of course not. Baby dragons are always hungry. Mother!
Ira's eyebrows pulled together.
Were you with Father when he saved eggs for the council? And long before that?
She said, with a soft smile in her husband's direction.
I recall being a child and watching the dragons of Asgard in the wild Isen countryside. My parents and I would watch the babies play, and I would bring fruit to feed them. They never could get enough of it. How incredible. Oh, it was.
Aline patted the elf girl's shoulder.
We visited Alfheim many times too, and hopefully one day your children will be able to see the dragon safe in their native land.
I hope for that too, I told her. I'd never expected to find dragon lovers and rescuers when we came here to meet Iris' parents, but I was pleasantly surprised. They were both incredibly kind, and they knew about our cause and even supported it. With the stigma around the dragons, we couldn't tell anybody else, but it was nice to not have to keep secrets from Iris' family.
Oh, I have an idea! What's that, dear? For your surname, how about Ormr?
The old language word for dragon. Ermaine smiled. I like it.
Rat?
Eline put her hand on my arm.
What do you think? It does seem quite fitting.
I thought for a second. Eline was right. It was fitting for me. And my soon-to-be wives? Perhaps too fitting, but no one else knew my involvement with dragons, so it could be our own little secret joke. I love it. I grinned. Volrath Ormr.
And Ira Ormr.
Kaas said with a glance at Ira.
It sounds beautiful.
Asta sighed and stared at the redhead with dreamy yellow eyes.
I like it too.
Ira agreed, and she gave a decisive all-business nod.
Now, Kaas, Asta, I'll need your help to get the courtyard ready for the ceremony. We can rearrange things however you'd like. Oh, no, Mother.
Ira shook her head.
I'm getting married at our home. Rat and mine's home. Oh, I see.
Eline smiled.
Phil, then I shall assist however you desire. Thank you, Mother. Yes, and of course we'll help too. I'm sure my nature powers will be useful.
Asta smiled. And I can do the heavy lifting. Ermaine offered as he flexed his massive arms.
Thank you, Father.
Ira said as her lips twitched with amusement.
That would be great. We need Prana too.
Kaas frowned.
Do you think she'll be able to come on such short notice? I know she's had a long day, but I'd still like her to be there. Blar and I can go find her, right, Blar?
Kaas asked the little dragon, who was still stuffing his face with candies. Blar, you said? Ermaine asked with a raised red eyebrow. I'm guessing his true colors are blue. Yes, you'd be right about that. And now your last name is Dragon. That's right. I smiled and shook my head before I turned to Ira. What can I do? Ira pursed her lips.
Kaas, Asta, Mother, and I are going to handle the decorations. Why don't you gather us some food?
Okay. I nodded. I can make whatever you'd like.
I'm not sure if we have time for you to make a feast. It might be better for you to go to the market.
I can do that.
Thank you.
The redhead smiled and kissed me on the cheek.
We don't have time to go a day without seeing each other. So we should start now. You take the cart and go to the market, and we'll take one of Mother's carts back home.
Yes, dear. Ira grinned and was practically brimming with excitement as she bounced up on the tip of her toes. I'd never seen her this worked up over anything, and it was absolutely adorable. I wanted her to have the wedding of her dreams, and I'd do whatever she wanted me to do. Though it didn't seem like much at the moment.
Go, go!
Ira urged, and she spun me around and pushed me toward the door.
I want you to be excited to see me at the altar.
I'm always excited to see you, I told her, but I walked out the door all the same. As soon as I was alone, my heart rate spiked with excitement as I realized I was about to get married. The sound of the door opening behind me drew my attention, and I turned around to see Ufe coming through the large wooden doors.
I think he wants to go with you.
Kaas told me through the small crack. Hello, Ufe. I smiled as the little red dragon scurried over to stand by me. Well, I'll be glad to have the company. Ufe smiled up at me, and we made our way down the stairs and out to the cart. Before long, we were on the main road of Asgard, headed toward the market. Ufe sat next to me as we rode, and I absent-mindedly stroked his back, which helped keep me calm. Can you believe it? I asked him at some point. Ira and I are getting married. He let out a little squeal of excitement and nodded, but I just laughed and shook my head. Apparently he wasn't as shocked as I was, but then again, last names and lineage didn't matter to a dragon. Not only was I amazed that I was marrying Ira, such a beautiful, strong woman, but I was also astounded she was marrying me,
I hadn't been thrilled about her father asking me to choose a last name at first, but I understood why. He wanted his daughter to have a surname of her own. I was sure that was something he'd imagined for her many times over, and then she'd chosen me, of all people. I wasn't sure how I'd gotten so lucky, but I was grateful I had. As we rode along, I looked up at the glowing sun and smelled the sweet scent of the flowers in the air. It was a beautiful day for a wedding. The drive to the market seemed to take no time at all, since I was so consumed with my thoughts. And before I knew it, I was overwhelmed with the smells of the vendors' wares. I patted my pocket to make sure I had my coins with me, and then I looked around and tried to figure out where I was going to go. There were booths with homemade smoked meats, cheeses, roasted vegetables, and every other kind of option I could think of. What would Ira want? I knew she used to eat at the market a lot, but... oh, the scent of turkey filled my nostrils, and I took a deep breath and smiled. Tawny's turkey legs. I remembered Ira agreeing with me about that being the best place in the market. His booth was our favorite, and it seemed only fitting we would have his food at our wedding. "How does turkey sound?" I asked Ufe, and the little dragon smiled wide and nodded vigorously. "Mmm." That's what I was thinking, too. The market was still bustling with people from the countryside, and it was difficult to get the cart through all of them. But I took it slow and made my way down to Tawny's booth. Then I parked the cart nearby, and Ufe and I stood in line and waited.
"Rath!"
The large man laughed as he sent the last patron off and saw me behind them.
"It's good to see you, buddy!"
"It's good to see you too, Tawny. I'm sure it's been a good day for business."
"Oh, most definitely,"
he grinned.
"The people from the countryside love a good smoked turkey leg."
"So do us city dwellers."
"Just one for you?"
he asked, but then he looked down and saw Ufe.
"A big one to split with your pooch?"
Actually, Tawny, I'm about to let you get off early and go home to that wife and those beautiful kids of yours."
"I just made a fresh batch of legs. I don't think I'll be going anywhere for a while."
"I'll take them. All of them."
"What? There's at least 10 gold pieces worth here."
He shook his head.
"You can't afford that, Rath. But I'll give you a big leg for you and your pooch."
"You were always so kind to me." I smiled and pulled out my coin purse. Then I counted 12 gold coins as Tawny's jaw dropped, and I set them on the counter in front of him.
"Warband business must be doing good, huh?"
He laughed, but his eyes were still round with shock. He'd never seen me with this much money before, and I doubted he'd ever had someone buy out his whole booth either. "I'm getting married today, and I couldn't think of anything better for dinner than your turkey legs."
"Well, it looks like I'll be able to get home to that wife of mine. Now let me wrap these up for you."
"Thanks, Tawny." I grinned.
"Who is the lucky girl anyway?"
he asked as he quickly wrapped leg after leg.
"Her name is Ira,"
I said, and even her name tasted sweet now that I knew she would soon officially be mine. "She used to come here a lot, too. I'm sure you know her."
"Kyra."
His dark, bushy eyebrows pulled together, and then shot up into his hairline with realization.
"Ira's the warband leader? She's a tall woman, long red hair?"
"That's the one," I nodded.
"Good for you. You got a good one. She's quite the fighter."
"She certainly is."
"Congratulations."
He smiled.
"I'm happy for you."
"I appreciate that."
"All right, here you go,"
he announced a moment later as he set a bag filled with what must have been 50 turkey legs on the table in front of me.
"You need help carrying these?"
"I think I can manage." I chuckled and pointed to the gold pieces on the table. "Those are yours."
"Rath, wait. There's 2 extra here. I only told you 10.
Keep them," I encouraged as I grabbed the bag.
"Are you sure?"
he asked with a frown.
"You just bought me out. You don't have to tip me, too. Besides, this is a lot.
You know, Tawny, it's part of why I like you so much. Not only do you make the best turkey legs in Asgard, but you're genuinely kind. Take the tip and go home to your wife. Buy her something nice.
Yeah, maybe I will.
He grinned.
Thanks, wife. And congratulations again.
I smiled and waved to Tawny, and then I took my bag of turkey legs back to the cart. As I walked away, I heard him tell the next patron that he was out of stock and closed for the night. Well, what else do we need, Ufe? I asked after I got the turkey legs in the cart. The little dragon pursed his red reptilian lips and looked around. After a few seconds, he used his head to point to a booth with some roasted vegetables, then another with some freshly baked pies and pastries. Ah, you're right. What's a wedding without dessert? Granted, I'd never actually been to a wedding, but I'd heard about plenty, and I knew dessert was a must-have for the menu. Ufe and I spent another hour at the market, and we bought out 3 more vendors of their stock for the day, so we had a feast of epic proportions by the time we were done. Along with the turkey legs, our cart was packed with roasted potatoes, corn and green beans, along with some honey bread, fruit pastries, and 10 different kinds of pies. I had plenty of homemade mead at the house, and I knew Ira preferred my mead over whatever I could buy at the market. Oh, finally we were done and on the road home, and I couldn't seem to keep the grin off my face. Where the ride to the market seemed incredibly short, the ride home was impossibly long. The streets were still bustling with the citizens from the countryside, though there weren't quite as many now as there had been earlier. Still, it made it difficult for the one-horns to travel at any great speed, so we trotted along down the cobblestone streets until we made it to our driveway. Oh, we're here. I told Ufe as I turned into our small courtyard. But as soon as we were through the tree line, my jaw dropped. I barely recognized my home. The girls had done an outstanding job with the decorations, and my heart rate spiked again at the sight of it all. This was real, and it was happening so quickly. There was a huge altar made of flowers in the grass near the fruit trees, and rows of chairs were lined up on either side of the flower petal-adorned walkway. The chairs must have been ermines because they were made of a dark wood and beautifully carved with lions on the back of them. He'd probably created the archway, too, since it was made of the same beautiful wood. Flowers of all different colors filled it and gave off a fresh floral scent that made me smile. Somehow, even the grass in the courtyard looked greener, and the girls had set up tables near the fire pit, for after the ceremony was over. The barrels of mead had been brought out from the house, and torches created a huge circle on the other side of the courtyard, which I imagined was for dancing. My heart nearly beat out of my chest as I parked the cart and released the one-horns.
Rath!
Asta bounded over to me and looked at me with expectant yellow eyes.
What do you think?
It's absolutely beautiful. I breathed, and I reached out and placed my hand on her cheek. Thank you.
Well, I didn't do it all by myself.
She flushed and looked down. I know, but you're very sweet to assist.
What's the least I can do? I love you and Ira, and I can't wait for all of us to be bonded.
Inga flew down to land on the elf girl's shoulder, and I scratched under her chin as she cooed her hellos.
What kind of food did you get?
Asta asked, and she sniffed the air and looked around me to the cart. a lot. I wasn't sure how many people would be here.
Well, we invited Ramir, of course, and the council is coming. Oh, Inkas invited one of your neighbors. She said she met her once before.
Lorena?
Oh, yes, I think that's right.
The elf girl nodded. I'm surprised she remembered. I'd taken Cass to Lorena's home once, when we'd stolen the essence of her dog so we could disguise Blah. The older woman and I had always gotten along, and I used to bring her things from my garden often, though I hadn't seen her much lately. Though we'd been rather busy with dismantling the dragon trade, but I was happy she'd been invited. It would be nice to see her again.
Rath!
Prana called out, and I looked past Asta and found the sorceress headed over to us. My jaw nearly dropped at how beautiful she looked, so I took a deep breath and contained myself, but I was almost sure my heart was going to jump out of my chest. Prana's golden gown matched the color of her beautiful locks, and it hugged every curve she had. The dress had long bell sleeves, but the front plunged down into a deep V that nearly came down to her belly button and showed off her ample breasts. The rest of the gown was form-fitting, with a short train that trailed along behind her. Prana, thank you for coming on such short notice. You look beautiful. That's a very nice dress.
Well, it is a special occasion,
she said, but her cheeks flushed lightly with embarrassment.
Speaking of clothing, I brought you some dress robes there in the cottage.
In the cottage? I repeated, and my eyebrows pulled together with confusion. Where's Ira? I assumed the redhead was inside getting ready.
She and Cass are in my chambers. Asta Blar is waiting to send you there with him. You need to get dressed. Oh, of course, thank you.
Asta nodded. Where is Blar? The little dragon let out a small huff, and I looked down to see him next to Prana. I'd been so distracted by the beautiful sorceress I hadn't even noticed him. Oops, sorry, buddy. Blar rolled his eyes, but I reached down and scratched under his chin, which seemed to take away at least part of his attitude.
I'm ready,
Asta announced. Blar nodded, closed his eyes, and created a portal for her. Asta and Inga stepped through without a word, and I was suddenly left alone with Prana. The sorceress looked me up and down, and I could feel the tension coming off her.
You really should get dressed,
she told me as she looked away.
It's a big day.
Yes, you're right. She was jealous, and it was kind of adorable. I couldn't focus too much on it at the moment, but it made me smile as I walked into the small cottage to get ready. Inside, I found a hot bath waiting for me, so I stripped down and stepped into the water. But before I could sink in and relax, Blar and Ufe both dove in and started swimming around. Oh, my tub was just barely large enough for the three of us, but I was in a good mood, so I laughed and splashed them all the same. After a quick wash of my body and hair, I stepped out, dried myself off, and pulled my hair back into an elaborate braid. On the bed were the most beautiful clothes I'd ever seen, and I carefully slipped them on. The material seemed almost too expensive to wear, and I felt strange stepping into them. I also found two small pieces of dark ribbon that I thought must be for Blar and Ufe, so I tied them around the little dragon's necks, and we all went to stand in front of the mirror. I barely recognized myself with the fancy clothes on, but they fit well, and they looked very nice. The black tunic was adorned with small, ornate golden stitching that must have taken someone weeks to complete. It hung down just past my waist, with matching pants below it, as well as some black and gold sandals. Well, what do you think? I asked Blar and Ufe. A small red dragon smiled and nodded at me to show his approval, but Blar was too busy preening over himself in the mirror to care about how I looked. All right, let's go. By the time I was dressed and ready, the courtyard was full of people. My neighbor Larina and her two dogs were there, as well as Rinbar, Bea, Ramir, Ira's parents, and a small group of musicians. I wasn't sure where the band had come from, but I smiled and waved to them as I made my way to the arch. Prana was there waiting for me, and I saw her face turn bright red as I approached.
Rath, you look wonderful.
Thank you, I smiled.
Where are your ties?
She asked as she looked me over once more, and her pink lips pursed together with concern. With ties?
Oh, you've never been to a wedding before, have you? The groom typically wears two ribbons around his wrists, and he'll give one to the bride.
Oh. I frowned, but then I remembered the two ribbons I'd found with my outfit, and I looked down at the dragons by my feet.
I see.
Prana chuckled as she followed my eyeline.
Well, I think perhaps this is more fitting for you anyways.
Will this mess up the ceremony?
Not at all, but I do have something else for you.
Oh, what is it?
It's from Aline in Ermaine.
The sorceress explained, and she retrieved something from a box near the flower arch. Prana held her hand out to me, and on her palm was an incredibly beautiful ring. It was a huge ruby set in gold, and my palms grew sweaty at the sight of it.
It was Aline's first wedding ring. She got a new one years ago so she could give this one to Ira.
She asked me to give it to you for the ceremony.
Thank you. I smiled and turned to see Aline in the audience. The beautiful woman was clad in red, just like her husband, and she smiled and nodded at me, so I smiled back and put the ring in my pocket.
Blar, it's time.
The little blue dragon nodded and closed his eyes, and a second later, a portal appeared just in front of the cottage.
Don't worry.
Prayna whispered when she saw my shoulders tense.
I've cast a spell on the band and your neighbor. They'll think the girls come from the cottage instead of the portal.
You think of everything, don't you?
Just about.
The sorceress smiled and nodded to the band. A sweet, gentle tune filled the air, and first through the portal were Inga and Svas. Both had white bows tied around their small necks, and they pranced forward proudly and made their way down the aisle. Their entrance was greeted by laughs and
aww
from the crowd, and when they arrived at the arch, I smiled and nodded to them as they took their places on the other side of Prayna. Asta was the next to come through, and the beautiful elf girl looked more stunning than I'd ever seen her. She wore a golden gown, much like Prayna's, but hers had no sleeves. The neckline plunged low, and on one side a long slit ran up to her thigh. Her perfect curves were on full display, and her hips swayed as she flushed and made her way down the aisle. She carried a bouquet of red roses, and her lips were painted to match. The contrast of the bright red against her soft white hair and pale skin was stark, but beautiful. Her long hair was pulled up into an extravagant updo, except for a few strands that hung down her back and around her face. There was a single red rose behind her right ear, and I couldn't help but smile at how absolutely gorgeous she was. Caspia was next, and my heart once again skipped a beat as she stepped through the portal into my view. The strawberry blonde was breathtaking. Just like Prayna and Asta, she wore a golden dress of the same material, but hers was styled just slightly differently. Long, tight sleeves hugged her arms, and her neckline created a heart shape that accentuated her ample breasts. The front of her dress was shorter than the back, which gave me a full view of her long, tanned legs and thighs, and I gulped as I took in every bit of her. She carried a red bouquet like Asta's, and a red rose adorned her hair as well, but unlike the elf girl, Kars's curls hung wildly around her face in the sexiest way. Her bright red lips only added to her incredible beauty, and I watched her cheeks flush deeply when she noticed me staring at her. Suddenly, I realized this was it. Then Ira stepped through the portal, and my jaw dropped. The redhead was the most beautiful creature I'd ever seen, and my heart beat out of control as she made her way over to me. Ira wore a stunning long white gown, and the dress plunged down in the front to show off her full breasts, which were even further accentuated by the golden accents that followed along the seams. The front had two long slits up the sides, so the skirts swayed gently when she walked, and a long train followed her in the back. Golden jewels hung from the dress over her shoulders to show off her delicate collarbones, and around her neck was a short golden chain with a large ruby at the end. In her hands was a large bouquet of red roses, and there were more in her hair to match. Her long red locks were pulled up into an incredibly beautiful updo, and five roses sat in an arch on top of her head, so they looked almost like a crown. Several small strands of hair hung down by her face, and her beautiful emerald green eyes locked onto mine. On her eyelids were some golden shimmers, and she wore the same red lipstick the other women had on, but hers looked even better somehow. She was breathtaking. My palms grew sweaty, and my mouth was suddenly incredibly dry as she walked toward me. I couldn't hear or see anything else at that moment. All I could focus on was Ira. The red-headed warrior's eyes never left mine as she made her way down the aisle, and as soon as she was close enough, I instinctively reached out my hand for her. She handed Kars her bouquet, and then put both her hands in mine.
"Welcome, everyone,"
Prayna said loudly, but I barely paid attention. I couldn't keep the grin off my face as I stared at the beautiful woman in front of me. She was a fierce warrior, a kind, sensitive woman, and gorgeous to boot. I was a lucky man, and I wouldn't take this moment for granted. She deserved to be treated like the amazing woman she was, and I'd never forget that.
Wrath.
Yes? I asked as I shook my head to clear it.
Do you take Ira as your wife?
The sorceress inquired with an amused smile that told me this wasn't the first time she'd asked. Absolutely, I do. I nodded and looked back into Ira's emerald eyes.
And do you, Ira, take Wrath as your bonded husband? Yes.
Ira breathed, and her chest rose and fell quickly.
I do. Then, under the eyes of Odin, I now pronounce you man and wife. Wrath, you may kiss your bride.
I reached out and placed my hand on Ira's cheek, and she sighed and nuzzled into my palm. And I leaned in slowly and placed my mouth on hers. The redhead pressed her lips into mine, but after a few seconds we were both smiling too much, so I pulled away with a laugh and swooped her up off her feet. The small crowd cheered as I carried Ira down the aisle and to the back of the cottage. I set her down and stared into her deep green eyes, and then we both laughed as I scooped her up again and planted my lips on hers. Asta giggled as she came round the corner.
Ira, it's official! Oh, I'm so happy we're all together now! So am I.
Ira told her with a smile.
Everyone is making their way over to the food.
Kaa said as she trailed along behind Asta.
We should get back out there soon. Okay.
Ira nodded.
But first I want you to soul bond us. Right here?
Kaa asked, and her violet eyes widened.
Everyone's waiting. They can wait a few moments.
Ira waved her hand dismissively, and then she looked right at me.
I can't wait any longer. I want us to be connected. I want to be with you.
I want to be with you, too. I smiled and took her hands in mine.
Oh, come on. It won't take too long, will it, Cass? I suppose not. I'm going to need some rope, though.
Inga let out a little squeal, and Asta leaned down and undid her bow.
Thank you, Inga.
She told the little dragon as she wound the ribbon around Ira and mine's hand. I felt oddly at peace as Asta tied us together. The act of soul bonding was familiar to me now, and I knew what to expect. Most of all, I was filled with happiness that Ira was officially mine after tonight. Once the ribbon was tied, Kaas and Asta stepped up next to us, held hands, and started to murmur in the old language. Ira's green eyes locked on mine, and somehow this felt far more intimate than the marriage ceremony we'd just gone through, and a million times more satisfying. As Kaas and Asta did the spell, silver and red sparkles floated around us, and after a moment, my own colorful sparkles joined the mix. I stared into Ira's emerald eyes, and at that moment, there wasn't anywhere else I'd want to be. Slowly, I sensed Ira's presence come to me. She was different, just as Asta had felt different from Kaas. Their souls were all uniquely them, and Ira had the soul of a warrior. Her entity hit me hard and nearly knocked me off my feet, and I was overcome with her undying love and devotion all at once. I knew she could feel my own being pushed right back at her, and my breaths became shallow as a wide grin threatened to split my face in two. The sparkles continued to swirl for a moment, and I reveled in the feeling of Ira's soul now connected to my own. I had all my women now. I was complete.
You're all done,
Kaas whispered, and she gently touched my shoulder and unwrapped our hands. I pulled Ira's perfect fingers up to my lips to kiss them, and the redhead flushed red but didn't take her eyes off me.
Wrath, Ira?
Prana's voice called out as she rounded the corner, but she stopped in her tracks and flushed when she saw us.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize you were performing the spell right now. I should go. It's okay.
Ira said, and she smiled and looked away from me for the first time.
We're finished. Oh, I see.
Prana nodded, but I could see the way she pursed her lips into a thin line.
Congratulations. Thank you, Prana.
Ira grinned.
Now, shall we go eat? Yes, I think that's best.
Prana muttered, and she spun around and walked away.
Ooh, Prana's so jealous. She should be. At least for tonight.
Ira laughed and kissed me on the cheek, and then she grabbed my hand and pulled me out to our reception. Dinner was a hit, and there was plenty of food and mead to go around.
Before long, everyone was full and tipsy, and the band began to play. So we all danced and sang and laughed together. I even thought Ira's father was growing to like me some, since he'd given me a couple more hugs throughout the night. Rinbar and his wife danced, and Prena danced with Bea, though I caught her looking at me several times. I couldn't focus on that, though. My only thought that night was about Ira, and how I could show her my love and devotion. It was late in the evening before everyone started going home, and suddenly the girls and I were alone at our own cottage. The decorations were still up, and the torches still lit up the dance floor, but I didn't worry about that right then. I just wanted to enjoy my home and my women.
Rad,
Ira said, and she turned to look at me as the firelight danced across her face. Yes, my beautiful wife.
It's time,
she said, and she bit her lip and looked up at me through her thick red lashes. Time for what? I asked, and I took another sip of mead.
Time to consummate our marriage.
Oh. My breaths quickened at her words, and my whole body tensed like a snake before the strike.
Be ready to cottage for you,
Cass said with a sweet smile.
Yes.
Asta nodded vigorously.
It's all set up for you. We thought you two could use the place all to yourselves tonight. Thank you. I appreciate that. Of course.
Cass smiled.
And we'll keep the dragons out here with us. Though I don't think that will be too difficult considering their current states. Yes, I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon. They ate so much.
The four dragons were currently laying in front of the fire with the fattest little bellies I'd ever seen. But not only had they eaten all the leftover turkey legs and roasted vegetables, they'd each had at least two pies all to themselves. I'd bought enough food for 20 people since I wasn't sure how many Ira was bringing, but there'd only been about half that, which meant there had been enough food left to feed 10 people. And the dragons had eaten every last bite of it. I was also fairly certain I'd seen Ermaine sneak them some mead a time or two, so they were probably tipsy on top of full, and their fat little bellies rose and fell as they snored in front of the flames.
Shall we?
Ira asked, and she held a hand out to me. We shall. I grinned, took her hand, then stood up and scooped her into my arms again. Ira let out an excited laugh, and she kicked her feet playfully as I hurried over to the cottage door. Inside, the girls had covered everything in red rose petals, and they'd lit a fire to keep us warm. The flames cast a beautiful orange glow on the flowers, and I set Ira down softly amidst them.
I love you,
she whispered as her green eyes locked onto mine. I love you more, I said, and I pressed my lips against hers. I could feel what she said was true, and I knew she could feel the same about me. Our soul bond was powerful, probably even more so because she was bonded to Cass and Asta, too. Ira sighed into my mouth and pulled me down on top of her, and her desire filled me to the brim. Her need for me was almost overwhelming, and my cock grew rock hard in response to her emotions. Suddenly, a fire was lit inside me, and I kissed her furiously. Ira kissed me back just as hard, and our tongues danced together as our hands ran all over each other's bodies. Before I knew it, she pulled my tunic over my head and ran her nails down my chest.
Matt, I want you so bad. I need you now.
God, you're so sexy, my wife. I growled, and I slid my hand down to the slit in her dress, and up to her sweet spot. Her thighs were already wet with her desire, and my cock twitched in anticipation of the feel of her.
Fuck.
Ira gasped, and she threw her head back with pleasure as I slid a finger inside her soaking wet pussy. Oh, Ira. Oh, God, you're so fucking wet.
That feels so good.
She moaned as I slid my fingers in and out of her slowly.
Please, husband, more.
The redhead gripped onto my shoulders, and her pouty red lips parted slightly as she pulled in short, heavy breaths. Her pleasure washed over me and nearly made my knees buckle,
She was close to the edge, so I continued to use my fingers on her until her incredible release hit us both. Ira's nails dug into my shoulders as her orgasm overtook her, and her pussy spasmed as her juices coated my fingers. Her waves of pleasure were mine, and we rode them out together until the feeling of release slowly faded. As soon as it was gone, a hunger filled me, and I knew she wanted more.
Fuck!
She moaned, and she reached down and pushed her hand into my waistband.
I need you inside me. Now!
Ira pulled my cock from my pants and pressed it up against her slick entrance. A desire flooded through me, and I savored it for a second before I slowly slipped my cock inside her sweet, wet cunt. She was drenched for me, and I slid inside easily and filled her completely.
Yes! Oh, just like that! You're filling me up so good!
I kissed down Ira's neck as I began to thrust in and out, and when I made it to her collarbone, I reached up and carefully pulled her dress down to reveal her full breasts. Her small pink nipples were already taut with desire, and I pulled one into my mouth. My heart beat out of my chest as her level of pleasure hit me, so I continued to use my tongue to toy with her nipple, and then I gave it a little bite before I moved on to the next one.
No, Rat, don't stop.
She begged as her feeling of release filled the both of us.
I'm gonna... come!
Ira's tight pussy spasmed on my cock, and the intensity of her pleasure nearly sent me over the edge. Once she finished riding out the waves of her orgasm, I carefully pulled her dress over her head to reveal her naked body. Her curves were lit up by the firelight, and I took in the sight of her full perky breasts, slim waist, and ample hips that led down to her sweet, wet pussy. Ira bit her lip as her green eyes locked on mine, and I could once again feel how badly she wanted me, even though I was still inside her.
Oh, fuck me, husband.
She begged, and she licked her lips and ran her nails down my chest.
Yes. You know just what I want.
I tapped into our soul bond, and then I quickly grabbed Ira's leg and flipped it over so she was on her side. Her perfect ass was on display for me, and I grabbed a handful of it and squeezed as I slammed in and out of her hard.
Oh, yes!
She groaned as she gripped the bed until her knuckles went white.
Harder, please!
I grabbed onto Iris' hip with one hand, and I held her ass with the other as I slammed into her tight cunt over and over. Her pleasure built with each stroke, and soon it was almost too much to bear.
Oh, fill me up, Brat!
She begged, and her green eyes locked on mine over her shoulder.
Oh, I want to feel you come inside of me. I want to be full of your seed and bear your children.
I let out a guttural yell as I slammed into Ira one last time and unloaded my seed into her. She orgasmed at the same time, and the feel of our combined pleasure made my vision go black. Iris cunt clenched and spasmed and milked my cock for every last drop of cum until I was an empty shell, and I collapsed next to her on the bed and pulled her close to me. My women and I had taken down the Elf King's weapons, and we were on our way to fully dismantling the dragon trade. Now, all we had to do was find the rest of the dealers and take them down too. For the moment, though, what was most important was that Ira was all mine, forever. The redhead smelled floral and sweet as I snuggled up next to her, and I pressed my nose into her messy but still elaborately done hair. She let out a sweet sigh and put her hand on mine. The next thing I knew, I was in the world of dreams. But suddenly, I was pulled away by something else. I blinked my eyes open, and I immediately knew where I was. I'd been here before, and I recognized not only where I was, but who I was. It was the silver dragon from the Elf King's dungeon, and he was trying to show me something. He must have reached out to me somehow, because I could sense he knew I was there with him. Suddenly the sound of voices floated down the hallway to me, and I stood next to the dungeon door to listen. At first I couldn't quite make out what they said, but after a moment the voices got closer and clearer.
"Tell him his plans are unraveling,"
a panicked voice I recognized as belonging to the king's lackey said. "I'm not going to do it," another voice scoffed, and I didn't recognize this one.
"The king is going to be happy,"
the first voice said, and then they started to trail off as they walked away. I blinked again, and I was staring up at the ceiling in my cottage with Ira on the bed next to me and a grin on my face. The Elf King's plan was unraveling, and ours was working. End of Book 4.